What is a sheep nation? We know that in the last days there will be a separation of sheep and goat nations. And definitely we want to be, and we want Kenya to be, on the side of the sheep. Hallelujah. So I'm trusting tonight will bring clarity even in to enable us to pray about this, and it will show us the position that we need to believe for Kenya to be in. Hallelujah. So scripture tells us that there is a time coming when God will judge the nations. Do you know God created nations? And nations are God's idea. I know there are elites in the world that want to remove all borders, have a borderless world, but of course they're at the top, telling everyone how to live. And that is of the Antichrist, because that opens the door to dictatorship, which is exactly what the Antichrist will be. So we don't want to fall for that kind of thinking, no matter how persuasively it might be presented to us. God created nations. Hallelujah. Kenya is one of those nations. And Kenya is a very significant nation. I look back over Kenya's history. I can't say I'm an authority, but I have talked to people decades older than I am in years past. They've told me an aspect of Kenya's history. And then someone else would tell me another. I've read several books in my early years here. And then I look at the people that God has sent to labor in this nation. Even someone I tremendously admire, Derek Prince, lived here for 5 years. So Kenya is very significant in God's plans and purposes. God has not ignored Kenya. Can we agree? He has not ignored Kenya. And so we don't want to fall short of his purposes for Kenya. But church, we have an enemy. His name is Satan. He hates God. He hates the people of God. He hates godly nations. He opposes everything that is good and everything that comes from God. So we have to keep that in mind. As much as God loves Kenya, we have an enemy. And he would blind and deceive the nations. In fact, in Isaiah, it says there is a covering over the nations that is blinding them. And that's why the church in the nations needs to be strong, so that the church has the authority for real. Not that we just hear about authority, but we have it in the name of Jesus to remove that covering, that blindness over a nation, and proclaim the gospel and see that nation swept into the kingdom of God. So let's turn to Matthew 25 verses 31 through 33. We're going to be, and I'm using the New King James, we're going to be referring to several scriptures tonight. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left hand. So, church, this is not the judgment of individuals. This that separates the believer from the unbeliever. But instead, there is a time coming when God will judge the nations. Boris, did you get the graph? Are you able to put that graph up? If you don't do it right now, we'll do it in a moment. Oh, good, we've got that graph I found, which might be helpful in understanding the time. See the rapture of the church? The graph starts there, where Christians are removed, and for a time, the Antichrist will have rule over a good portion of the earth. And then there is the second coming of Christ, when he comes to make war. This is not the rapture. The rapture's already happened. Now, this is the second coming, and there will be a sheep and goat judgment at that time. The rapture saints at that second coming, those of us who were raptured at the beginning of the graft, we come with Jesus in triumph over the enemy. Hallelujah. Church, we have a great victory celebration to look forward to as we come being led by our Lord and Savior. We will come with him, with Christ, at the battle of Armageddon. Then there is the sheep and goat judgment. And so I'll just leave that up there for a moment. But I wanted you to see where that comes on God's timetable. I don't know. I've never particularly taught on the end times, but I'm being led to, so that we have peace in the process that we're going through, that we can understand. I do think we have some challenging times before us as rebellion builds in the earth. The time will come. We will be caught away from all the things that we do see coming upon the earth. But there's a good part of it we're not going to have any part to do with. We will be raptured. And then, you know, it will be a time that if you aren't raptured, you will wish you had been raptured. You will wish that. So, when the judgment of the sheep and goat nations, so that's not individual judgment, separating believers from unbelievers. But there is a time coming when God will judge nations. Oh, I tell you, we need teaching on this. Then, let's go to Matthew 20. We're still in 25, but we're going to from verse 34 through 46. We've got quite a bit of scripture we need to look at tonight, beginning with verse 34. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." For, verse 35, now this is the judgment of sheep and goat nations. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. Oh, our well project for Mars Sabbath Church is coming along, and people that have not had water to drink will soon have water. Hallelujah. I'm just so grateful the Lord has let us be a part of that. We want to listen to these words very carefully, because these should guide our faith and the way we live on the earth. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they, the ones on the left side, will also answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Church, can you say amen? Amen. This judgment takes place after Jesus' second coming. You saw where we will return with him. And before the millennial reign of Christ, the 1,000-year reign of Christ, where the earth will be restored to its original creation in God. Hallelujah. This judgment determines which nations will be allowed to enter the millennial kingdom. So do you understand? We're going into the 1,000-year reign of Christ after the second coming of Jesus, after the judgment of the sheep nations and the goat nations. Then we go in to the 1,000-year reign of Christ. And into the millennial kingdom, where Jesus rules for 1,000 years. Praise the Lord, everybody. It's going to be so nice to have Jesus in authority. But every nation should consider this stern warning. This is a very stern warning. And we want to look at this tonight and allow the Lord to speak to our hearts, adjust our hearts, receive understanding that perhaps we did not have, and it's going to change the way we think and the way we live. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Well, I want to follow Jesus all the way in to that millennial kingdom. Someone say amen. We want to go into that kingdom with him. So let me speak about sheep and goats. Goats are very stubborn. They don't listen. They don't want to follow a shepherd. They're not interested in a shepherd at all. They do not recognize the shepherd's voice, nor do they follow him. How many of you ever had a goat? See, we have goats in Africa, and these are not the most pleasant creatures. Could I hear an amen? And so they're rebellious. Goats are stubborn. They're rebellious, and they want to go their own way. Long ago in Bible days, a shepherd would pretty much keep the sheep and the goats together during the day, but at night, he would separate the sheep from the goats, and that is an example of this kind of separation that the scriptures are speaking about. Sheep are very dependent on the shepherd, and the shepherd has to keep close watch over the sheep, and they know the shepherd's voice, and they follow that shepherd. Church, you don't want to be a goat. You want to be a sheep. Someone say amen. We want to be sheep. And we don't want, and they don't like, sheep don't like being separated from the shepherd. No, they're only comforted in the presence of the shepherd. And certainly we feel that same way. After Jesus taught his disciples about the events that will happen at his second coming, he gave them four warnings. I didn't feel like I had time or would take the time to go into all four. But I want to look at the fourth warning, because really the four warnings are a teaching in themselves. So we're just going to look at the fourth warning. And it's his final warning in Matthew 25, verse 40. It says, "And the king will answer and say to them, 'Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it unto me.'" Who, church, we need to look at this. Let's look at this. "It assuredly, I say to you, in as much as you gave a cup of cold water, or you gave some clothing, or you took," I'm going to tell you who the brethren are, "you took care, you contributed to their well-being, you gave them a meal, you intervened when they were in trouble, you stood up for Jesus' brethren, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me." Church, to be a sheep nation, you have to be in alignment on this point that I'm going to share with you right now. Jesus' brethren are the Jewish people. The primary thing that determines a sheep nation from a goat nation is our love of the Jewish people and the nation of Israel. This is what determines the separation of sheep from goats. What is our stand on Israel? Is it a biblical stand? Or do we go along with those who don't care, don't have an opinion one way or the other, and they're not interested in Israel at all? The ones like that are the ones whose hearts can be very easily turned against Israel, which we are seeing. It is so shocking, even in America, has always been Israel's staunchest ally. And even there, we are seeing things happen that are unscriptural. Who are Jesus' brethren? It's the Jewish people. God will judge all the Gentile nations for how they treat Israel and how they treat the Jewish people. You know, the scripture says Israel is the apple of my eye. God speaking. Israel is God's firstborn. They were not a nation, but he found faith in Abraham. Abraham turned his heart toward God. And from Father Abraham, we get Isaac. And from Isaac, they made a covenant with God. And from Isaac, we have Jacob. And from Jacob, 12 sons who fathered the 12 tribes of Israel. And that is the founding of the nation of Israel. Hallelujah. And so if God had not found Abraham, who had faith in him, God accounted Abraham's choice to believe. It says it was accounted to him as righteousness. And that is the genesis of the nation of Israel. Oh, how grateful I am for Father Abraham. These men were not perfect, but for Isaac and Jacob and the nation of Israel, I'm so grateful. Now, without going into a lot of detail concerning the nation of Israel and God's love of Israel and his heart for his firstborn. Hallelujah. Let's go to Joel chapter 3. And verses 1 through 3. And it says, Joel says, in those days, and at that time, when I restore the fortunes of Judah and Jerusalem, I will gather all nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. There I will put them on trial for what they did to my inheritance, my people, Israel. Because they scattered my people among the nations and divided up my land. They cast lots for my people and traded boys for prostitutes. They sold girls for wine to drink. So, church, this is another scripture that speaks of the time when God will bring all the nations into judgment. And what will they be judged for? How they treated Israel. Oh, church, we do not need to have any misunderstanding about the last days. There will be a fierce rising up against Israel. It is a blindness that comes from the evil one. But I am telling you, we're going to believe Israel, Kenya will never turn against Israel in the name of Jesus. We will not come under judgment and be cast away. Can you? May I hear a big amen?
Amen.
So this is the time when the nations come into judgment in the valley of Jehoshaphat. And by the valley, the word Jehoshaphat or Jehoshaphat means the Lord is judge. The Lord is judge. And may I add, of the nations. So the nations, the nation of Kenya, will be judged on how they treated Israel. God has two charges that he will bring against the nations. We heard it in this scripture in Joel we just read. One, they scattered God's chosen people. God's chosen people were scattered into 100 nations. They were scattered throughout Africa. We even find tribes who they test their blood and they have Jewish DNA in their blood. Hallelujah. And so, number one, they scattered Israel among the nations with much persecution. Israel had to go from nation to nation, seeking a nation that would just let them come into that nation and live peacefully and live. Oh, there's so much history behind how various nations have treated Israel. And number two, God's number two charge against the nations will be that they divided the land of Israel that has been given to them by covenant with God himself. God set the boundaries of Israel, and the nations, even though Israel has a very small portion of land now, so much of the Middle East is Israel's by covenant with God. When you read the scriptures, you read of the boundaries that God put, and it's been given away by various Gentiles. And it's one of my heroes is Winston Churchill, but he's the first one that gave a big chunk of Israel away. And it's in history, it's called the Transjordan area. He signed that over and gave it away to try to make some sort of peace. He's the first one that did that in 1922. So they scattered God's people and they divided the land. How many of you have ever heard the phrase, land for peace? Well, you know, that's been several U.S. presidents' solution for war with their surrounding neighbors. And so land for peace, that was under George W. Bush. And so they gave Gaza to the Palestinians. And we know what happened October 7th. 2023. How many of you know what happened October 7th, 2023? I would never think a human being could do the things that happened during that time. And Israel gave up Gaza to make peace. And look, see, land for peace is not a God idea. God's idea was the covenant he made with Abraham, and he set the boundaries of the nation of Israel at that time. And really, that issue, Psalm 105 and verses 8 through 11. If we could have that put up, please. He remembers his covenant forever. How many of you know God's a covenant-keeping God, and he does not ever forget his covenant? His words, if he makes a covenant with you, he'll never forget one word of that covenant. The promise he made for 1,000 generations. The covenant he made with Abraham. The covenant he swore to Isaac. He confirmed it to Jacob as a decree, to Israel as an everlasting covenant. To you I will give the land of Canaan as the portion you inherit. And because the Gentile nations have not been willing to accept that, we've had how many wars and no peace in the Middle East. Hallelujah. So the land of Israel belongs to God. All the earth belongs to him. But he gave it to Israel in a covenant, an everlasting covenant. And since Israel's land was bestowed on them by covenant with God, no person or nation or leader has the right to demand that they give up that land. May I hear an amen? But the word in the Bible would be divide, but a more modern word is we need to partition the land. Partition means you cut it in parts and you give some of it here and you give away some of it there. In other words, that's a violation of God's covenant. Woe to the nation or leader that does that. Woe to them, for they themselves are not acknowledging the covenant that God has with the nation of Israel. So the nations are always trying to divide the land. And one decree after another gives portions of land to various Arabs and Palestinians and so on and so forth. So today, the nations think that this is a good idea. We will have a two-state solution where Israel gives up land to the Palestinians. The Israelites can have a small portion, give some to Palestine, and that's the solution. No, the solution is God made a covenant with Israel, and there will never be peace in that land as long as the covenant is being violated. Truly, the problem of the land of Israel will not be resolved until the return of Christ, because here's the problem. Land legitimizes Israel. And see, the Antichrist and the spirit of the Antichrist wants Israel wiped off the map. Just like he wants all Christians who follow God wiped off the mat. But Israel is a thorn in the devil's side, because Israel's the only nation that were scattered for 2,000 years, less than 2,000 years, and then was brought back. They had their original language. They had kept their identity after they had been scattered throughout the world. They still had their language. They still had the Torah. They still had their identity. And that is the only nation that has ever been restored after. Someone look up How many years was it after Israel was thrown out of the land and dispersed till 1948 when they were restored? How many years was that? Shy of 2000, I know. Can anybody smart enough to Google that? Yeah, if you can word it. How many years was Israel dispersed before they became a nation? I'm going to go ahead, and if someone finds that, hallelujah. Hallelujah. So because possession of the land legitimizes Israel. So we're not going to have peace on earth until all of this opposition is removed. Now, we can have peace because Jesus is our peace, but all around us in this world, Israel is the center of the rebellion and strife that's going on the earth. Have any of you heard the phrase, from the river to the sea? Do you know what that means? We want to wipe out Israel completely, and there will be no more Israel. Well, the sun and the moon would as soon fall out of the sky than God would allow Israel to be destroyed. Are you with me? And so that's not going to happen. But boy, does the devil want it to happen. They want there to be no more Jews. No more Israel. So it's a call. From the river to the sea is a call to eliminate Israel entirely from the earth. Joel 3 tells us that God will judge the nations by bringing them into the valley of Jehoshaphat and destroying them right there. I will gather all nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. Church, are you with me? I'm telling you, we're living in this time. We're in the years of the development of the very last of the last days where these will watch these things happening. And we need to understand we're holding on to the nation of Kenya to be a sheep nation that stands with Israel. The nations that are godly nations, they stand for the word of God. They understand Israel's role in the plan of God. And we love and embrace Israel and stand passionately for this nation. And we do all we can to be a blessing to the nation of Israel. I'm telling you, it will be a different story for that nation than it will be for the nations that hate and oppose the nation of Israel. God will judge the nation by separating them like a shepherd at night separates the sheep from the goats. That's how God will judge the nations. So the key to being a sheep nation is how well we have treated Israel. That nation will be a sheep nation. And let me review again Matthew 25, 35 through 36, just to put these words in our hearts. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I mean, let me tell you something about this ministry. The Lord taught me this principle a long time ago about bringing your life into divine order. You have to bring your faith into divine order. And that means you're going to have to bring your giving into divine order. And the Lord taught me a long time ago, give to Israel first. Make giving to Israel a priority as you line out your giving. So let me tell you, you may not have thoroughly understood it, but because you give to this ministry gives to Israel first. I instructed, I don't know how many years ago, Pastor Davies. It's been many years ago. Is Davies, and this is true in my own giving, the first check we write in our giving is to Israel. That's the first check we write. And we give in various ways to Israel, but every month we write a check to a precious orphanage in Israel that has Pastor Davies met the rabbi on his trip to Israel this year. And we've given to that orphanage and supported them for years. And that's the first seed we sow. So if you give to this ministry, understand in the manner of speaking, you're giving to Israel first, because what you give, we take the tithe and offering and we give. Church, we don't just take it and spend it. No. Pastor Davies tithes personally. He gives offerings. I tithe personally. I give offerings. As a ministry, we tithe as a ministry, and we give offerings. Church, are you with me? We're very serious about divine order, about placing Israel first. And we will always put our giving to Israel first. We recognize and rejoice in the fact that Abraham was the first one. God approached him and he believed what God said, and God counted it to him as righteousness. I tell you, better honor that. He's our father in faith, and he was the first Hebrew. The word Hebrew means one who crosses over. I mean, he led the way. He led the way for all of us to cross over from darkness into light and from death into everlasting life. Hallelujah. Amen. He crossed over, and I have my number. I don't know what my number was or is, but there was a day I crossed over following faithful Abraham. I rejoice in Father Abraham. I rejoice in, the 12 heads of the families of Israel that became the nation of Israel. I rejoice that in 1948, Israel became a nation again. In one day, Israel became. Now that was the hand of God. In church, where I see the hand of God moving, I'm going to be right in there believing for the will of God to come to pass. Can you say amen? Amen. And so, no. Yeah, it's not the only giving. You know, I'm just going to name a few ministries we've given frequently to. Sid Roth Ministries. Sid is a Jew. He works tirelessly in Israel. We've given to Larry Huck Ministries, Barry Siegel Ministries. For years, we have sown seed into, and I've given to others. Kufi Christians United for Israel. I give personally monthly to Christians United for Israel. We give as a ministry in the distribution of our first fruits. You know, when we are observing a moed and we participate in a first fruits offering, we've distributed very much. Our primary giving of our first fruits is to Israel. It is to Israel. Hallelujah. So I want this in your heart and for your faith to be activated, and let's put our faith together. We love Israel. We stand with Israel. We understand Israel scripturally, Israel's place in the kingdom of God, and we support Israel in faith. We will always be Israel's covenant friend. Abraham is our forefather in faith. We have been grafted in by the blood of Jesus. Church, if we understood it, we're part of Israel. We are part and parcel of Israel. Hallelujah. And in watching the ignorance of people who call themselves Christians and churches who fly the Hamas flag and chant, you know, rather than singing hymns, they're singing "From the River to the Sea." You know, the blindness, the ungodliness. But we will never deviate from loving, supporting, and in our faith, believing for the nation of Israel to be strong. Now let's look at the goat nations. We understand that to be a sheep nation, we stand with Israel. Now, the goat nations, first of all, they've divided the nation of Israel. Matthew 25, 41 through 43 says, "Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry." Now notice, this is God saying this, but notice how closely he identifies with Israel. I was hungry. This is God speaking, but he is so one with Israel that he says, "I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in." I mean, that just Israel, I mean, not so much recently, but for years, because my mother was, she bought books about Israel, the founding of Israel, novels about Israel in our house. And even as a teenager, I would read those books, not knowing, quite understanding the position of Israel. But I was hungry. You know, when we hear of Israel suffering, it should be that we are suffering. We enter in to the sufferings of Israel to help them, pray for them, bless them. Church, are you with me? This is how closely God identifies. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. The goat nations are not permitted into the 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ. There will be nations that are on the earth today. We know who their leaders are. We can name them. They will not go into the millennial kingdom of Christ. We have a saying in Kenya. I will use this saying and put it this way: they are finished. Do you understand me? we know in Africa what finished means. And that is true of they are no more. They are no more. This judgment concerns which nations will be included or excluded from the 1,000-year earthly kingdom of God and of Christ. The issue for the nations for which they will be judged is, how did they treat Israel? Church, this just has to sink in to us, because we're going to have to stand for the nation of Kenya. Did you listen to that video I sent you? Okay. How many of you, church, you're not babies. So I'm going to tell you something. Should I tell them? Okay. I was listening to Perry Stone. Who was it? Jonathan. Who?
Jonathan Kahn.
See, I've listened to so many. I need to go back and listen again. Jonathan Kahn. And it's hard for me to say it, but the Gaza flag, the Palestinian flag, the colors of that flag are green, red, white, and black. And he said the Lord told him that nations who have flags with that color will go that way. Not into the millennial kingdom. And he said, the four horses of the apocalypse in Revelation. Have you read the book of Revelation? You know what color those four horses of the apocalypse are. Green. They're red. One's green. One's red, one's black, and one's white. So, church, I've been listening. I've not let this put my heart on the ground, because I haven't heard that. You know what I'm saying? I have not heard that. I listen to men and women that I regard. But what this does, it put me on notice that we have to be very serious about the nation of Kenya. It put me on notice. See, when you read something in the Bible, that's one thing. But now you hear something from a prophet, it may or may not be able to be, he could be accurate. But it doesn't always mean it has to be that way. It can sound an alarm, and we now get more serious than we've ever been about this nation. You understand what I'm saying? So, I thought, this is not such an easy thing to say. However, we are not Watoto. Would you agree? We're not Watoto. And we just spread ourselves out before the Lord and cry out that we will not go the way of those who oppose Israel, but that Kenya will always have a leader that will not be pressured into ungodliness by other nations who are practicing ungodliness. And they are liars, they are deceivers, and they weave webs that trap and blind and so on and so forth. We will not walk that way, but we will walk the way of righteousness. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Can the Lord deliver Kenya?
Yes.
Whether by many or by few. This is not impossible with God. But I'm going to issue that warning that the things I'm sharing tonight are not to be taken lightly. They are to be contended for. And to realize the very destiny of this nation depends upon the righteous praying, staying in faith, and working very hard, receiving strategies from the Lord to produce righteous leaders and to pray against the unrighteous who would follow that way in agreement with it. Are you with me, church? So much depends upon our taking a very strong position for Israel in this hour. Hallelujah. Do you have anything to say? Hallelujah. So we're talking about the goat nations. We don't want Kenya to be a goat nation. No, God's invested so much in Kenya, has loved Kenya, I can look back, having lived here for decades, over many tests and trials, and may I even use the word tribulations that we've at times been through, and God graciously brought us through, and we're still here today. I'm just so grateful. The issue for the nations, let me repeat this, is how did they treat Israel and the Jews? The church must be a strong voice for Israel in this nation. This same principle applies to our attitudes personally toward Israel and the Israeli people. Church, this is something I've watched with pain in my heart, truly, to see the spread of anti-Semitism in the nations once again. You know, after the Holocaust and the death camps in Europe, there was the cry, never again, never again. But it happened again, October 7th, 2023. But I'm saying Kenya will never walk in agreement with the mistreatment of Israel. May I hear an amen?
Amen.
These are very critical issues for the church to comprehend and understand where our faith must be. Church, even among Christians and in churches, there is a noticeable rise of anti-Semitism. I believe the Lord wants us to guard our hearts and minds and refuse for this nation to be deceived. We refuse it completely. Be very careful to pray for Israel. Pray for their safety and security. Pray for their eyes to be opened to who Jesus Christ is and pray for God's blessing and protection to be upon them. This is why the leadership of the church is in every nation is so important. The leadership of the church in Kenya is critical for this nation to be a sheep nation. It's very critical. We are to stand strong in the knowledge of God and His will that is revealed in the Scripture. Especially on behalf of Israel. Israel's covenant with God is also our covenant. We're grafted in. We are grafted into this. Let us pray that Kenya will never be a part of defying the covenant of the land of Israel. Right now we've had high-level leaders not in agreement with that covenant. They're calling for a two-state solution. And that is in defiance of the covenant Israel has with God about their land. So I want to reiterate, this ministry loves Israel. We will always stand with Israel. I will never be a part of a ministry that displays even one molecule of anti-Semitism. Never. Never. I will never be part of that. We give first to Israel in our first fruits, in our giving. This is in the celebration of the Moeds. We give first to Israel in our monthly distribution of tithes and offerings. Church, what comes in tithes and offerings, it doesn't just remain with us, does it, Pastor Davies? No, we are givers. This is a giving church and ministry. And we give to Israel first. Israel is God's firstborn, and we acknowledge and honor that. God has blessed Israel, and we imitate God as we bless Israel. We're being imitators of God. Genesis 18 and verse 18. Now, this is the NIV, dear. NIV, Genesis 18, 18. Now listen carefully. Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all nations on earth will be blessed through him. Do you know the blessing of Abraham is available to all the nations of the earth? Hallelujah. And if you don't agree with God's call on Abraham, the call he has on the nation of Israel, I'm telling you, your nation is in trouble. May I say that? Your nation is in trouble. All the nations on earth will be blessed through him, Abraham. If a nation opposes Israel, that nation is opposing the blessing of God. Let me say that again. If a nation opposes Israel, that nation is opposing the very blessing of God. They will not be blessed. They're going to have one problem after the other. Genesis 12. Let's read verses 1 through 3, and this is the NIV. Genesis 12, 1 through 3. The Lord had said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. Church, here is where Kenya's blessing comes from. I will bless those who bless you. And whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So why do you think there are so many problems on the earth today? There are so many people opposing Israel. And they're fine from the river to the sea. They are fine if they woke up one day and Israel was no more. However, that will never happen. May I hear a big amen. Church, has this helped you at all? Has it brought some clarity? Has it brought some understanding? This is such a key for the time we're living in. It is so important that this be right in our hearts and in our minds, and that we be divinely aligned with heaven where Israel is concerned, and that we pray for Israel. Praise the Lord. Would you stand up, please? And if you would, lift your hands. Father in heaven, we love you. We love your word. We thank you for light that you have poured out this evening, for granting us the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the spirit of knowledge and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, and the fear of the Lord. May the fear of the Lord be in our hearts concerning your nation, Israel. Father, we lift up Israel right now in the name of Jesus. And we pray for Israel. We pray for your protection over the nation of Israel. We pray for unity in the Israeli government, that they will be of one mind and one heart, in agreement with you, in agreement with the very wisdom of God that you would pour out upon them. Father, we pray for Jerusalem. Oh, how you love this blessed city. And we pray for the protection of Jerusalem in the name of Jesus. Protect her day and night, Father. Protect her from enemies that would seek to steal, kill, destroy, deceive, dig tunnels under the ground, and practice all kinds of deception in the name of Jesus. Father, we do lift up your nation, Israel, whom you call the apple of your eye. And Father, we embrace Israel. And we declare before heaven and earth tonight that we love Israel. Kenya loves Israel. Kenya stands with Israel. We embrace Israel. We surround Israel with our faith, with our prayers, in the name of Jesus. Father, may Israel, your people Israel, become so real in our hearts that we find ourselves lifting them up even several times a day, blessing Israel, praying for your favor upon Israel, praying for Jerusalem, praying for, Father, the defeat of the enemies of Israel. We decree defeat of all the weapons they've formed against the nation of Israel. No weapon formed against Israel shall prosper in the name of Jesus. But the will of God, the will of heaven, will prosper in Jesus' name. Give the leaders the mind of Christ. Give them strategies from heaven. Help them to wage war against their enemies with strategies from heaven in the name of Jesus. And Father, we just thank you and praise you that you open our hearts and you open our understanding to know Israel as you know Israel. Israel is not just a nation distant from Kenya, but Israel is real to us. Israel is beloved to us. We receive your agape love for Israel into our hearts. We receive the revelation of Israel in your plans and purposes for time and for the nations of the earth. We receive revelation in our hearts of the place of Israel and the importance of Israel in your plans and purposes. And Father, we stand before you in agreement with your word, in agreement with your purposes for Israel, in agreement with your agape love for Israel. Form agape love for Israel in our hearts, we pray. And Father, we thank you. Would you please light upon this congregation with the spirit of intercession and all kinds of prayer? And would you grant us utterance before heaven to pray your will in the earth concerning Israel? May there be a fire in our heart and a fire on our tongue for the nation of Israel. Father, we thank you and we praise you as we lift up Israel before you today. We set our hearts in holy agreement with your will for Israel. In the name of Jesus, will you please bless us? Bless the work of our hands. And we, part of the blessing of the work of our hands, will go to Israel. Bless businesses. Bless companies. Bless positions. Bless and prosper your people. And Father, as we stand before you, we will give generously to Israel with gladness of heart, Father, with joyful hearts. We will give and share our food and our clothing and our material goods with Israel. Father, we stand with Israel tonight and we covenant with you. We will not depart from loving Israel. Help us to love Israel as you love Israel. Help us to pray for Israel as you would have us pray for Israel. Help us to give financially to Israel as you would have us give financially to Israel. Transform the finances of Living Faith International and Victory Faith Church that we may generously give to Israel. Let this be a night of transition for this church and ministry, that we would move over into a place in your heavenly will and in your heart that you would bless us to be a blessing to Israel. In the name of Jesus, we cry out, bless us that we may be a blessing to Israel. In every way. Bless us in every way. And Father, we will turn and bless Israel with all love and joy and faith. We will bless the nation of Israel. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that many will love Israel. Our testimony is we love Israel. We stand with Israel. And we are among those who bless Israel. And may our testimony increase. May our testimony be enlarged. May our testimony be so blessed that we're able to give in a much greater capacity than we've ever given before. Father, we say again tonight, we love Israel. And we agree with you that Israel is first among the nations. Israel is first among the nations. In the name of Jesus, may our hearts come into divine order where the nation of Israel is concerned. Church, would you just call for divine order? Just lift up your own voice. Lord, we call for divine order in our hearts, in our thinking, in our motives, in our purposes, in the motives of our hearts. May we come into divine alignment with your own heart, with your own purposes concerning Israel. In the name of Jesus, may we be divinely aligned with heaven concerning Israel. In the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you and we praise you for it. In Jesus' name.